You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Time to lock and load. Time to get control. Time to search for soul and start again.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DH82 underscore Bucks, and at Bucks underscore Nation. I am currently coming to you live from I-70 East on my drive back from Indianapolis, and David is still in Indianapolis. As we are, we're done with day one of the combine, and it was quite the experience. We were able to sit in on Jason Light and Bruce Arians press conferences, and you know, had some fun conversations with some people. But you know, let's go ahead and dive right in. And David, kind of, what was your biggest takeaway from the day?
Really, excitement about the future, right? As much uncertainty as there is about the future, there's also a lot of excitement about the future, and that's kind of one of the things that I wrote about during the day on Bucs Nation, because we were trying to churn out as much content as we could to keep everybody up to date and kind of add our own little opinions and twists to it at the same time. And, you know, whether it come down to Ronald Jones being someone that Jason Light sees working really well, or the coaching staff being really excited to work with, or we were talking about O.J. Howard and how much the coaches are excited when they see him working out and doing his thing. And then even Noah Spence, who's a guy that a lot of fans and even some media kind of written off for dead, so to speak, as far as the Buccaneers were concerned. But to hear Jason Light, I mean, it was kind of a throwaway line, but it really wasn't. If you think about it, if the general manager in the midst of draft evaluation, in the midst of attending the NFL Combine, has your name on his mind about a guy who could step up and do well, then that means something. And I think it means something about the youth of this roster. So even though there's all this uncertainty about Gerald McCoy and DeSean Jackson and Quan Alexander, there are still a good amount of pieces on this team that maybe some of us have forgotten about that will give the coaching staff the weapons needed to make sure that everything turns out okay, even if we're missing some of these marquee players in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice to kind of get a little bit of insight. Of course, you can't read too much into combine quotes. I mean, a lot of these are going to be canned answers, but it was nice to kind of get a little bit of clarification on a few topics, especially as you mentioned, you know, Quan Alexander's injury, Kendall Beckwith, players of that sort. And yeah, it was kind of interesting. We had that report about Gerald McCoy coming back for his 10th season with the Buccaneers, and Jason Light seemed very non-committal about Gerald McCoy, and just kind of, yeah, he gave that canned answer of, you know, Gerald is under contract, and we hope to work with him again. Yeah, you wrote about it at BucsNation.com. Of course, David and I are going to have as much up on the website as we can, but it was kind of interesting to hear Jason Light approach it that way, rather than confirming the report that McCoy would be back.
Yeah, and that was something that we kind of briefly touched on in a previous episode too, where, you know, this report is out there that Gerald McCoy is in fact coming back, when at the end of the day, and this is what we talked about, until you hear Bruce Arians and Jason Light honestly say that a player is coming back, or you have, you know, as far as guys under contract, until you hear them say they're coming back, I wouldn't honestly put a whole lot of stock in that, just because this is the kind of year where any one move or any one trade shifts the entire landscape of everything that a team is looking at. So it's just important to keep those things in mind as we move forward.
Yeah, why don't we go ahead and hear something else that Jason Light had to say.
The Giants are right behind you at 6, and their quarterback is 38 years old. What do you think about that, regardless of what they do, the value of your position sitting at number 5?
No, I guess it's a nice place to be in if anybody wants it. We'd certainly listen. We did that last year, and it had to be the right amount of capital that we wanted. We're not just going to give it away, because I do feel like there are 5 players that I would like to pick right now. So a lot goes into it, and we'll have to evaluate each player and decide together, and ultimately Bruce and I, which player is worth, we're not moving back, and which players are worth moving back a little bit and gambling.
Yeah, it's no surprise that Jason Light is talking about being quote-unquote open for business. Yeah, he likes to trade down. We saw it last year when they got Vita Vea. We saw it the year before, or 2 years ago when they got Vernon Hargreaves. So being in that number five spot, yeah, it's prime position for any team that wants to move up and take a quarterback, especially if the price is right.
Right. I mean, we're not going to be the first people to say that, you know, Jason Light loves playing the draft game, and that's I think that's a given. I know, you know, multiple people on multiple platforms have said the same thing. And if you go back and watch kind of a clip or whatever, he starts smiling when he starts talking about, you know, accepting offers and being willing to talk to people. So the potential of trading back is something that most Buccaneer fans kind of I would say encourage and support and almost expect to a certain degree. And he kind of went on in a later part of the conversation talking about just how many pieces are available in this year's class and just how many different positions have players that are real strong prospects as far as cornerback, edge rushers, linemen, offensive linemen. And I think all of that really kind of plays into that mentality of trading back, because if you know you can get a guy that you have a true first-round grade on, I don't mean an adjusted first-round grade, like a guy who is a first-round pick because he's just that talented, not because you just need a player that badly that you move him into the first round. If you know you can get that guy and stockpile picks, then there's absolutely no reason not to go for him. And when I think about something that was said to Scott Reynolds of the Pew Report that he published on their Twitter feed, and I'm pretty sure they did a content piece about it, and something that I submitted a reaction to on Bucks Nation, is the news that Caleb Benenock is going to be moving back to tackle from guard. And not to regurgitate everything I wrote for Bucks Nation, you guys can read that when it comes out if you want. Let's just say he graded out as a right tackle better than he graded out as a right guard. So that's a good move, and that answers a lot of questions about the offensive line. But now you have to wonder, are they going to draft Caleb's replacement, or are they going to look to sign a guy like Mike Iupati, which was your thought process and who you did a free agent profile on for the website. Either way, it just shows you the team is making moves. So even though, you know, I know there's you know, Antonio Brown is out there, Le'Veon Bell is out there, there's all kinds of stuff out there, and fans are quick to get frustrated if their team isn't making moves. But this team has already made two very big moves in moving Caleb Benenock to right tackle and or back to tackle, and moving MJ Stewart to safety, something that's a little bit less talked about. But yeah, I mean, the wheels are turning, and the folks there at the Bucks headquarters are working feverishly right now, and it's good to see and good to know that they're doing that.
Yeah, well, and that was something else that I asked Jason Light, because, you know, the past few years when Jason Light has been in charge of this team, they've had just an abundance of money to spend on some of these top free agents. So, you know, I asked him if he's found this year a little more challenging than years past because they don't have that abundance of money. So you look at guys like Mike Iupati that isn't going to be one of those day one massive splash signings, and he talks about getting into free agency, you know, all the way into week four of the NFL season, because things kind of taper off and you find those affordable guys. And he even mentioned that they've had better luck with those signings than they have those big splash players early on in the free agency process. So the movement of Benenock to the tackle position, looking to fill in an interior offensive line position, may bode well for the Bucs in the long term rather than, you know, giving up on Benenock after a difficult season.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know this, James. I was really high on Benenock coming out of 2017, not saying like this dude needs to be a long term starter right now, but I was really happy with what he had done and I really liked his future. So when he got promoted to guard, I was like, oh, a guard, okay. But I was excited about the player individually. I was like, oh man, I'm really happy to see Caleb getting his shot. And I stand by that. I'm happy that he got his shot. It really didn't work out very well. Now, if the coaching staff thought that they could make it work with him at right guard, obviously I fully support it. I don't really have any other option but to fully support it. But moving him back to tackle, I mean, if this kid can pick up where he left off as a tackle from 2017, and with that year of adversity under his belt, bounce back, be resilient, and grow, you know, as a player, as a man, mature just from that aspect of it, and then get some good coaching, get some good mentorship from DeMar Dotson if he in fact sticks around as well. You could be looking at your starting right tackle in 2020, and if the Bucs make a move to fill up the guard spot either now or the following year, I mean, Donovan Smith, if he gets his act together, Ali Marpet's already a dominant piece. Ryan Jensen, minus the penalties, really, you know, he did a pretty good job in his first year with the Bucs. If they can fix the right guard position now, and then if Benenach, like I said, gets back on track and becomes that right tackle that they need, I mean, you can end up with a really good offensive line here in a couple of years, and you only had to make one real important move, which was replacing the right guard.
All right, well, you know, David, something else that we talked about, and we're kind of shifting from Jason White over to Bruce Arians. Of course, all the talk has been DeSean Jackson. Yeah, Ian Rappaport had to tweet out that DeSean has switched his agent. And in fact, it was funny, we said in the Bucs Nation group chat, you know, Rappaport sent out that tweet literally arm's length away from you and me.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, is DeSean coming back? And again, Jason Light was pretty noncommittal, but I asked Bruce Arians about, you know, is DeSean Jackson, you know, did he have the opportunity to sit down and speak with DeSean Jackson and how that conversation went? And I wrote about it on BucsNation.com, but I do believe we have the quote from Bruce Arians about that, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Interested in keeping DeSean Jackson around, and said that you want to sit down and speak with him. Have you had the opportunity to do that yet, and how did that go?
It went great. Yeah, we had a long sit down. From my perspective, I thought it couldn't have been any better. You'd have to talk to DeSean to find out what his perspective is, but I thought it was great. Look forward to working with him. Ton of respect for him as a player and a person.
Yeah, so again, I mean, Bruce Arians seems all in on DeSean Jackson. He would later say in his press conference that he wants Adam Humphries back and how important Adam Humphries could be. But to me, as I said on Bucs Nation, you know, it looks like they're basically going to have to choose one or the other. I don't think they can afford to keep both. Adam Humphries, as Scott Reynolds had said on Pewter Report, is going to test the free agent market. He's probably going to garner more money than the Buccaneers can afford to spend on him. So it's going to be one or the other, but it looks like, you know, Arians is comfortable with the DeSean Jackson situation as it stands, felt that their conversation was a productive one, and it, you know, it looks like DeSean could be finishing his contract with the Bucs.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical. I mean, again, until I hear Bruce Arians say the words DeSean Jackson will be a Buccaneer in 2019, and until I hear Jason Light say the words DeSean Jackson will be a Buccaneer in 2019, it seems too far gone to me. You know what I mean? And one of the things that really kind of stuck out, leaps can be made, right? So I'm fully going to admit that before I even say this, that I could be connecting dots that are not there to connect. And I will, if anybody wants to tell me that's what I'm doing, I will fully accept that that's a possibility. But he said that he thought the conversation went great. However, he also said you'd have to ask DeSean what he thought about the conversation, which tells me that they didn't necessarily walk out of there high-fiving his teammates saying, go Bucs, we're going to win the Super Bowl in 2019. It means that, to me, that feels like they probably left that room with some sort of a gentleman's agreement on how the future was going to go and what was going to happen moving forward. And I've said it before that I don't think DeSean Jackson is going to sit out 2019. Like, at the end of the day, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers refuse to cut him, refuse to trade him, and tell him, hey, you will honor your last year of your contract, we will pay you $10 million, and you're going to be a wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that he's going to report. He's going to report to camp. He's going to show up to the games. He's going to dress. He's going to do what he has to do. However, I don't feel like it's going to end up going well, because I think the first sign of conflict or the first sign of struggle or the first time Jameis misses him on a deep route, we're going to see what we saw at the end of DeSean Jackson's 2018 season, which was frustration and some might even call it downright fit throwing. Listen, I think DeSean Jackson's a super talent. I think he's a great guy on the field. I think he has a lot of ability on the field that is an obvious threat to the defense, can stretch the field at a moment's notice. I don't think he wants to come back. And that's kind of the part of the conversation, right? We've heard some Bucs fans talk about, well, the Bucs can't let him go. He's too dangerous. He's too much of a weapon. I don't think this is as simple as do the Buccaneers let him go. I think it boils down to does Deshaun Jackson want to fix this? Does Deshaun Jackson want to be part of the solution, or does he feel like the problem is already there and there's no way to fix it? If that's the case, then he's going to become the problem himself. And when you're trying to do what the Buccaneers are trying to do this season, that's too much to throw in a locker room like that. I just don't see how it can really work out for the positive. And you're going to be, as a franchise, in a situation where you're either suspending a player for conduct detrimental to a team, or you're going to end up cutting him during the season. But now some of the damage has already been done, or maybe you find a trade partner in the season. But again, the damage has already been done. I feel like right now what the Buccaneers are doing is waiting to see if they need the money before they make a move. Because at right now, the Bucs don't owe him any money. The Bucs aren't on the hook for any cash. So they have no reason to make a move right now. When teams cut players this early, it's either because that player is probably going to retire or he's out of the league, or it's to do that player basically a favor and say, hey, we're giving you extra time before everybody else is available to go negotiate a contract with another team so you can find a job. The Buccaneers have no reasons to do him any favors at this point. So they can hold him. They can hold him through free agency, and they could have talks with players. And if they talk with a player on a contract value and it turns out, hey, we could really use that 10 mil we have earmarked for Deshaun. Okay, now we'll drop the hammer, cut Deshaun loose, use that money to sign this guy. If that doesn't come across, then they come to the draft and they try to leverage him for a fifth-round draft pick, a fourth-round draft pick if someone's crazy enough, and then they move him. If they don't, then they see who they draft. If they draft one of these guys, like a Mecole Hardman or like a Hollywood Brown or whoever, that can stretch the field for them, then maybe at that point they're like, you know what, we have his replacement, we'll just move on. Or they can hold him all the way through. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the Bucs can do whatever they want. I just don't feel the smart play for the franchise in the locker room is to keep him around. So while Bruce Arians is looking forward to working with him and thinks that the conversation went well, that may very well be true. Because Bruce Arians basically said, I'm the head coach and you're going to do what I tell you to do because you're under contract. And he's looking forward to getting Deshaun on the field. Doesn't mean Deshaun Jackson's happy and wants to come back.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention that part of Arians' quote of the, you know, you'll have to ask Deshaun how he felt that it went. Because that does, you know, creep a little doubt in. Like, yeah, Bruce could feel like the meeting went great because, like you just said, Bruce said, I'm the head coach. If you're under contract, you're going to do this because I know how to win, and this is how we're going to win. So, you know, it's, you know, the same as the Gerald McCoy situation. It's not a done deal. It's not set in stone, and it's definitely a very fluid situation. If I was a betting man and I was going to put money on it, I would still say that I don't believe Deshaun Jackson is part of the team in 2019. But it looks like things are trending in a positive fashion towards his return. I think ultimately it's just going to boil down to Jason and Bruce hammering out what they feel is going to be best for the team this year and for the next 5 years.
Yeah, there was a comment on one of the articles that went up today on BucsNation.com. I can't remember which one it was specifically, but basically one of the comments was, so if we're to believe all the news that came out today, Deshaun Jackson is staying, Gerald McCoy is leaving, and that's what's going to happen with this team. And that's not the case at all. What it means is that today, right, today, here's what happened. Jason Light did not commit to Gerald McCoy. However, I don't think anybody asked Bruce Arians really about Gerald McCoy. So he really didn't have the opportunity to commit or decommit one way or the other. And then with Deshaun Jackson, what happened is Bruce Arians said that he's happy with the conversation they had. He's looking forward to working with them. And Jason Light gave the same non-committal answer as far as contracts are concerned that Coach Arians did. And at the end of the day, who's the one that makes decisions based on contract?
Jason.
Exactly. So while I'm sure they're working in tandem, and don't get me wrong, I don't think Jason would just necessarily cut a guy and say, ah, deal with it, Bruce. At the end of the day, when the guy who manages the contracts is at the podium and says, oh, you know, we really like what Deshaun Jackson brings to the team and we're really working with him and looking for you. No, that's a non-answer if I've ever heard one, which means that it is far from done. So just because on February 27th, we're saying that Coach Arians is really happy and excited to work with Deshaun Jackson, doesn't mean he's ever going to get the chance to work with Deshaun Jackson.
All right, well, that'll about do it for this episode. We're probably up against the time, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing the background noise as I drive my car. By the way, I am back in the great state of Ohio, David. That happened while you were talking about Jason Light. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more more coaches, more GMs. You know, David and I are going to try to speak with John Gruden. We're going to try to get Ron Rivera's take on Bruce Arians. And we'll see what else emerges from day two of the scouting combine. But until then, make sure you're checking out everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com. David and I are hammering out as many of these articles as we can based on what we hear and who we talk to in Indianapolis. If you have any questions or any reactions, make sure you give us a call at 813-444-5841. We'll do a voicemail episode after the scouting combine. There's just going to be too much content to get to all these voicemails during this week, so we'll make sure that we get one or two of these voicemail episodes knocked out for you guys. Make sure you're checking out everything at BucksNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. We would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.